It's another day, another draft here on Splash Play. Of course, Best Ball Mania 5, $1.5 million to first place. And today, we're going to ponder the question, to be or not to be, or to Elite TE or not to TE Elite TE. We'll find that out here. Of course, already in a draft room, I am flustered because TikTok made my morning misery. The audio is not working for our Probably video on TikTok, so I had to end up using an AI Santa voice today. So I am feeling great here, very overjoyed. But let's get it going here. Another Best Ball Mania draft. And I have to tell you guys, did two off stream yesterday. And it may shock you to hear, I am currently 100% Jaden Daniels right now. I believe that's going to make it four drafts for me then. So yeah, four drafts, 100% Jaden Daniels. I think Ben Sinnott 100% as well. So that is currently the edge I'm exploiting the most. Elite tight end, though, is one that I have found myself landing on a lot. And three of my four lineups so far, I do have Sam Laporta. So that's why he's on the thumbnail. I think it's a big question. Sam Laporta, I know sometimes you see him going to the mid-20s. Sometimes he falls a little bit into a nicer area, mid-30s, closer to a Trey McBride, closer to a Travis Kelce. I like elite tight end a lot. The part of me that worries a little bit, and I think actually one of the chats here earlier on, our guy Patrick, of course, was rewatching the entire Splash Play playlist. A shout out to him here. Now he's watching live. Late round tight end feels pretty good too. That's mostly how I feel about it. That I like the elite tight ends a lot. I do like Sam Laporta a lot, as I've talked about with Detroit, not adding anybody there where it's just going back, running back with Gibbs and Montgomery, Amon-Ra, Sam Laporta. You lose Josh Reynolds. You have Jameson Williams hopefully taking a leap upwards. These are all good things for that offense, including Sam Laporta, who in year two, expected to earn more targets, expected to get more downfield targets, which he did look great with last year, which didn't get a lot. So a lot of things for a guy like Laporta that look great. The issue for me is like, I still think Brock Bowers is a good play. If anything, for Vegas, I think the guy who gets upset there is going to be Michael Mayer when you have the new draft capital coming in from a new regime. I would say that'd be the risk point. But in general, I would say that for me, elite tight end looks good, but it's not the only way to go about this. And I do think people are kind of going, hey, I have to get elite tight end in every room. And because of the way these rooms work out, I think you don't have to. That said, we might be setting ourselves up for elite tight end here because I'm going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra now safely going behind Justin Jefferson in terms of BBM ADPs. I do like Justin Jefferson, as I've mentioned. I would prefer Justin Jefferson to Ja'Marr Chase personally. I also think Amon-Ra and Chase and Jefferson is a little bit closer. I would say Amon-Ra and Chase, I think, particularly close. But that's obviously how I'm viewing it. Really can't really go wrong with any of the first round wide receivers. But for me, taking Amon-Ra pick seven, happy to do that. So we're doing an end. Gerard here, not a regular here, but apparently going to snipe every tight end and watch the rage. I don't know if you're in this room, but if you are, you can go ahead. To be clear, I'm making the case against elite tight end. If anything, I need to stop taking Laporta everywhere. But when you do have Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously you are very live to be taking a Sam Laporta at some point. We got Marvin Harrison Jr. going at the turn here. Still no fall at all for Garrett Wilson. The draft, not getting anybody else in there besides Malachi Corley, I guess, gave people more confidence in Garrett Wilson. Malachi Corley, a pretty big target earner. Garrett Wilson, unimpressive the last 2 years, even though he has gotten the fantasy hype of a million ships sailing behind him, I guess. For Garrett Wilson, I would rather have MHJ over him. I personally would rather have Drake London over him, but the market disagrees. And it seems like, if anything, Garrett Wilson more solidified in the first round than he's ever been. Feels like Bowers get a lot of low A-dot targets here. I mean, that's one thing Gardner Minshew likes to do, is likes to get the ball out. He's running an efficient offense. Maybe not the best QB in the world, I think we can all say. But he's definitely a guy that likes to check down, and Brock Bowers is going to be potentially that check down. Olave at 17 is a move. That's a choice you can make. I am in the bag for Kyren, but I would like to see how he falls in a room in which I'm not taking him. So I'm going to take Brandon Ayuk here. Latest reports that the Niners locked into having Ayuk and Debo back. They're thinking about likely going to lose one of those guys at least in 2025. It's the most recent reports that are coming out of San Francisco. I think Ayuk at this point, obviously that could be a little bit of grandstanding by the Niners. They could be trying to get more draft capital out for the future, more players. I don't know what else you're going to get at this point with the draft having been over. But the Niners still live to trade Ayuk as a lower probability outcome, but it does seem like everything is blowing more towards them, as I thought it would, blowing more towards them, keeping Ayuk and figuring it out next year. And then you can franchise tag an Ayuk if you need to. You can make the trade then. Maybe he has another year of good stats for himself. But I don't know. If you're the Niners and you know you're preparing to get rid of this guy, you took Pearsall. I don't know. I'd be willing to get rid of him now. But too late anyway. All right. Show's always on Notify. Let's go, Squirter. Shout out our guys, Sammy. Shout out all the regulars here. Of course, appreciate you guys being here, especially as I am amidst the chaotic morning. Yeah, we have bi-weekly cleaners that come over, and usually my wife tries to be here to help me deal with it. Instead, I had to deal with it. Our dog is turning 14 this month, but she is like extra feeble right now for some reason. I don't know. Hopefully the warmer air will help her out a little bit, but extra feeble. So I have to manage the dog. Then the cleaning lady, I guess we normally have, is out. So the owner was here and she's like trying to talk to me. And I was like, fuck, man, I have to do my probably video. Then I do go on TikTok, and TikTok, the audio just wouldn't work for me. It was recording like all fuzzy and stuff. Even though my phone works fine to record video on the camera. So really just a baffling morning of wasted time and effort. That doesn't put me in the head that space I need to be for a good BBM draft, but I think we'll find it anyway, as I always do. I think I'm building the sickest teams on stream right now. I think are coming from Splash Play is what I'd say. How rich. Yeah, how rich indeed. Bi-weekly cleaners for like $100 a clean. But it's either that or the wife murders me for not cleaning the house. And I'm not like a surface cleaner. I'm a picker upper. I'm not a surface cleaner. It's not one of my skills. So Kyren goes to 25 here. I have been seeing people sending me Christian McCaffrey, Kyren Williams teams. I think I actually got sent one by Mr. Mister that had a Christian McCaffrey, Kyren Williams, and Devon Achane as his start. So definitely you are getting a falling Kyren Williams. I still think that's a good dip to buy. It's tempting to fall into a McCaffrey, Kyren build, but I do think that people, I think the 101 going into 2-3 turn is going to be picking a lot of running backs there. I think they're going to be tempted into going bimodal RB more. So something to keep in mind if you're going 0 RB from the one hole, or if you're going hero RB with McCaffrey, I think you're getting a little bit more unique because there's going to be some tempting backs that fall, including Achane and Kyren, that are going to fall at that turn pretty reliably right now. Cleaners plus EV. I would agree, cleaners plus EV. It's just like, you know, I don't want to do the small talk very much. That's how I feel about it. Our normal cleaner is like an older Puerto Rican woman, and I'm Puerto Rican too. So I could say the word Puerto Rican, I guess that's how that goes. But she's like one of those people who's a divorcee and I think it's in her 40s. I would assume she's got to be in her 40s. She's definitely older than me. In her 40s, and she's like was going through a breakup or whatever. And then she immediately got another serious relationship a week later. And it's like, we hear a lot of the gossip in the house because we're here when we're doing it. So it's a lot going on. Sam Laporta's on the thumbnail. Sam Laporta falls to me here at pick 31. We will take him. I don't like going up for Laporta when he comes in my... All right, pause. When he comes in my lap, I feel like I just have to let him do his business. And Sam Laporta, to me, getting the Amon-Ra Sam Laporta start, still one of my favorite ones that I have here. I was actually trying to get it last night in a team that ended up being more AR-focused, but I thought I could get AR and Jonathan Taylor along with Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Ended up not getting Laporta in that build, but I do think when you have Amon-Ra and Laporta, you are controlling the market on one of the best teams that have, you know, defined targets here, like at San Francisco, like, I guess teams that people want to get in the upswing. But to me, like that concentrated market share and a team that we know is good last year, a team that made the NFC title game and probably should have won it. Now, not to bring up any sore memories for our Detroit fans out there, guys like Purple Yoshi. But I do think for Detroit, get Amon-Ra, get Laporta. I don't know how you're failing. Obviously, the second pick could be a little bit more fun, perhaps than a Brandon Ayuk. But I think just having that foundation at wide receiver and tight end, you could do so much. And you don't even have to take Goff if you don't want to. And I frankly don't want to take a lot of Goff. She's for the streets. We have an eye poppy. There we go. Yeah, it was really one of those where I was like, oh my God, that is very classic, like post-divorcee with like she's got a kid in her teens or something, or it might be older teens. It's like that's as somebody that grew up in the South Bronx, that is a classic vibe there. She's in Puerto Rico for the week. So we had the cleaning boss come in who was like very much being the boss. Is there anything we could do better? Is there anything? And you really want this week? Like, I don't know. clean with a smile? Whatever you want to do. Bring the cleaner in for best ball brunch. I mean, she definitely... You're going to go with stereotypes. That would be the classic naughty Latina maid. That's what I have coming to the house every couple of weeks. We have a 0021 here. Some guys I like, Keenan Allen, I am still in on. A lot of the social media ADP watchers, I feel like, advocating for Chicago's guys to drop. Which is reasonable for sure. Tank, obviously not at a discount in BBM, certainly lower than he was going in the big board. He's a fine pick here. Zay Flowers, I don't mind either. None of these guys at a discount. You know, we got an elite tight end thumbnail. What happens when you go Trey McBride and Sam Laporta? We're going to find out today. Team so far, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Sam Laporta, Trey McBride. How do we stick the landing on this one? I don't know. We're going to find out. Maybe she has best ball takes, fire best ball takes. I don't know about that. I'm sure she's got some picante takes, but I don't know if they are. They're best ball specific. Holy bully. Yeah, we're bullying them today. Look, you tell me two elite TE or not two elite TE. I'm an elite TE, I guess. But it was Laporta falling into place, and I like Tank. I like some of the guys in this range. I like Keenan Allen the most. But I think we have fallers here. I think we have Tank Dell falling a little bit, Keenan Allen falling a little bit. I'm not going to buy him at price or even a little bit above ADP if I know they're going to be falling. So I think Zay would be the one. I don't think Zay falls. I don't think people care at all about Tez Walker being there, and I don't think they should. But some of the other guys in this range I think could be fallers. And Pickens at 44, I just don't want to go there. My goodness. Always a fan of the bully. Got a nice build with McBride and Kittle yesterday. I mean, yeah, like I think the top 10 tight ends feel pretty good, aligned well in ADP. You definitely have to make sure you're making up in volume or draft capital other spots. Definitely don't get tempted into a third tight end if you're going to take those two tight ends. But I feel like in this particular year, when you have this run here, we have, you know, five tight ends on the board right now I'd feel pretty good about. And another four right after them that I feel also fairly solid about, even though, you know, some of those guys have a little more questions about the role, the touchdown equity and all that. I think bully tight end is more viable than ever. It's just a matter of how you're going to work everything around that, not making yourself too thin, particularly at wide receiver. Like wide receiver, you can get bled out if you don't attack those pockets the right way. Broncos bold. I like it. I like you, Broncos, because I like the Broncos. I think the Broncos are a fun team to be drafting this year, as I've already talked about it enough times. But if you're new to the show, guys I like that the public does not, Bo Nix and Troy Franklin be right amongst them, but also Cortland Sutton. I'm not afraid. I feel like people have been, it's weird, like some of the takes that people give out there, and I'll call out the underdog guys in particular. Hayden was like talking about Bo Nix and his dynasty rankings. I think it's actually more so about Troy Franklin. He actually does like Bo Nix. I think he was like a B-level prospect in the dynasty rankings overall. I mean, it's all the rookies coming in. But Franklin, he was like, oh, Franklin's got to beat out Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton. And it's like, what? He's got to beat out these guys that Tim Patrick coming off 2 years of injuries. I don't think that's the one you're worried about. Marvin Mims, maybe a little bit worried about, who was drafted by Peyton, but Peyton didn't use him. So I'd go with the shinier new toy there. But just some odd things. All right. This is a tough pocket for me. I mean, you know, the pick that I like the most here is Terry McLaurin. Odunze is coming down. Rashee Rice, there is still a little bit of a discount here at this price tag. Rashad White should fall a lot to me. We could withstand the suspension for Rashee Rice. I'm going to go Rashee Rice here. This team in particular, when you have Amon-Ra and Ayuk, we have good tight end play. Not that matters for Rashee Rice. But I think we can absorb a Rashee Rice's risk a little bit more here, and we'll see what comes back. And knowing this room here, seeing some of the people around the bend, I am sure they might take some of my favorite players because they will share some takes in common. Tim Patrick loves insane. I agree. And that's the thing that fucking pisses me off about the Denver situation for Troy Franklin in particular. So like number one, we had the signal of them trading up to get Troy Franklin. I know it's not huge. It was only in round four, but they did trade up to get him and said that he was the goal coming out of that previous night. They wanted to get Troy Franklin. But then in other rooms, it's like, oh, Malik Nehru doesn't have to worry about Jalen Hyatt, who this current regime spent draft picks on. Oh, these guys, he doesn't have to worry about Wandale Robinson. And it's like, I get it. Malik Nehru went in the first round. He's going to get a good crack at it. These are still bodies in the mix that deserve more reps than Tim fucking Patrick, let alone Cortland Sutton, who it doesn't seem like they want to pay. And I will see. I think he's live to get traded still. Would not be a huge shocker there. If somebody could trade him and pay him a contract that not the biggest money in the world. That's a possibility. But it's like, it's a very winnable wide receiver room. But because it's a guy that people's priors didn't like that much, now it's not a winnable wide receiver room for Troy Franklin. I think that's bullshit. So I guess seeing Broncos name in the chat triggered me, but I am so fucking team Broncos. And I think that and Jaden Daniels are the two takes that I've said it. I've died in this hill. I've given it my pre-draft takes were same thing. But like, these are the takes to me that I am going to differentiate myself on this year because nobody's with them right now. And I think that is shocking to me. Shocking that people can like Bo Nix and still think that Troy Franklin, the Denver offense, can't ascend. Like, you're getting his guy, his best friend on the team. They're like actual very close friends, Bo Nix and Troy Franklin. Anyway, 0-0-3-2 here. We got both KC options in front of us. Nothing we're going to try to take stack-wise at this point. Could take a third tight end with George Kittle and really just go off the deep end and see what happens. I'm going to get a share of Xavier Worthy, I guess. I kind of feel... I think he's going to pass Marquise Brown at some point in ADP. And Worthy, my concern is that he's a very similar bet to Rashee Rice, at least in terms of how these guys played in college. Xavier Worthy, a less good target under playing at a bigger college. Rashee Rice, more of a 35% target crowd run rate guy. Worthy, closer to 27%. So those are, it's a pretty big difference. You know, 8% does matter in terms of these guys over the larger sample size of their last years in college. For Worthy, though, where he did the most was really underneath routes, rub routes, movement forward, you know, the snap kind of things. So for Worthy, his route tree could be very similar to Rashee Rice. The risk for me is that I think if Worthy's good, he takes Rashee Rice's role enough, whereas Marquise Brown at least does something different. So if I'm going to point out one flaw in my drafting here, I think it would be that Marquise Brown and Rashee Rice pair better as a duo. But I guess the flip side would be that if Rashee Rice suspended four games, Xavier Worthy likely gets that production in the first four games. But I think we're playing for one spot with these guys, really, is kind of the main thing for me with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Much rather have Franklin later than Neighbors over Pittman, DJ Moore, and Diggs. That's crazy to me. It's not a bad take. I mean, look, I like Neighbors a lot. The thing for me with Neighbors, as I've mentioned, is that the talent is so huge. I believe a lot in what he does, you know, visually, analytics-wise, best a wide receiver downfield, a 1.6 EPA, a deep throws of 20-plus yards. Like, that's crazy to be adding over a point and a half to be better than Marvin Harrison downfield as well, who's also an incredible outlier. So two things for Neighbors are good there. The issue is, like, you have these wide receivers that they've invested draft capital in that are still young enough to deserve some run. You have Slayton, who they have a hard-on for, who they keep feeding, keep giving contracts. He's holding out right now, but that holdout can't be long for the world with them having a viable replacement. So you have three guys there that actually do kind of matter. And then, you know, you might have Waller back. I think people think he's going to retire. I've said it a million times. I don't know, you're coming off a divorce and you're going to retire from the NFL. Like, that seems like the worst possible time to do that, especially because, you know, no respect to Kelsey Plum. Kelsey Plum is making old WNBA money. Like, she's not making Caitlin Clark WNBA money. She's not making Angel Reese WNBA money where you have millions of dollars in advertisers with you. So I would imagine Darren Waller gave some of that money away or is going to give some of that money away too. I think Darren Waller comes back. So, love the talent for Neighbors, but the Giants, to me, a little more crowded and also bullheaded. Like, that's one of the more stubborn teams in the NFL in terms of just feeding shit that doesn't make sense. So, look, I'm not saying Troy Franklin's going to be better day one than Neighbors, but, like, the outcomes, people just want to look at one thing and don't want to look at the other thing because they like the player, and I don't think it's how best ball should go ever. All right, so we have a 0042 here, and Montgomery falls right to me, so we're just going to keep the Detroit bet going. So Montgomery, we have captured basically, I mean, obviously excluding Jameson Williams, we'll see if we go there. We've captured every Detroit touchdown besides Jahmyr Gibbs. So fundamentally, I like that bet. Concentrated offense, players that I like, players that are good. I mean, in the case of Sam Laporta, a player that's going to be better in year two, all good things to me. And hey, you know, Monroe got big paid too. All right. Do I prefer Leggett or Pearsall with respect to their landing spots? Our guy Tyreek asks. I would go Leggett personally. Pearsall, to me, there's a blocker there. There's still a major blocker. I'm sure the Niners will use him a little bit, but I think right now, if you're going to have Ayuk and Debo back, he's just fancy Danny Gray. He's still going to lose some snaps to Juwan Jennings, who is a trusted vet. You still have Kittle there, obviously, for whatever his health is going to be this year, but the assumption is that he'll be good to go. To me, there's just a lot of things there that I don't think Pearsall has the upside, whereas Leggett's risk is that he's probably not going to be able to overtake Adam Thielen in the slot, which would be where Leggett's going to be the best, but he will get some scheme touches, will get some targets overall. I would guess that Leggett gets you probably, at the very least, 5 touches a game, but 5 to 9 intended touches a game would be my guess for Leggett, including the run plays that he'll probably get some sweeps, some kind of bullshit PPR points maybe. Hopefully, you know, moving forward, so you actually get a point for it or a half point on underdog. But I think for Leggett, there's more upside there. Pearsall for dynasty, I guess. But I would probably go Leggett. Would I do Amon-Ra, Gibbs, Laporta if the draft fell that way? I'm not a big Gibbs guy. I think Gibbs is overpriced for a guy who still is going to give away at least half the goal line work to David Montgomery, more likely 70% of the goal line work. So not the biggest Gibbs guy overall. He was one of my biggest fades on the big board, and that has not changed. If he were like a little bit cheaper, I'd be willing to go there. But it's a fine play. Like, if you like early running backs, it's a fine play. I would just rather have an early wide receiver over that. All right. So we have the KC bet going, Detroit, San Francisco. So some chalky stuff going on overall. I'm not going to go up and do that yet. Najee Harris, Pollard, Jaylen Warren, A.D. Mitchell. I'm going to go Najee here. Not a big Najee fan. I know there's a lot of Jalen Warren's team. Pat Corain, of course, legendary upside. I feel like their rankings in particular are pushing people on Jalen Warren. Najee's a goal line back there. I don't think that's going to change. Najee is a traditional power back bruiser. That was part of why Tyler Allgeier got the work last year over a Bijan Robinson, is that that's just what Arthur Smith likes. He likes a traditional kind of power back there. I could be wrong about this, and this is not one of my more confident takes, but I think Najee keeps the goal line role. I think he's at least going to be getting 50% share. To me, he and Jalen Warren are probably a very similar play, but I would give the tiebreaker to Najee because of the touchdown stuff. What's the Courtland Sutton dream trade spot? How high would he get drafted? My dream trade spot would just be getting him out of the way. So I'd say Pittsburgh would be it. And they're the one that's been apparently making offers for players out there, including Ayuk, including Sutton, including Devontae Adams, supposedly. So Pittsburgh would be the one that I would see just because I'm not a big Sutton guy. In terms of his talent level, like what would make me excited for him? Buffalo. I think Buffalo, he'd be better than Keon Coleman day one. Keon's biggest value is going to be as a red zone target. So if somebody else came in who's been a proven red zone target earner, and Courtland Sutton, for whatever flaws he may have, he was 100% Russell Wilson's red zone safety blankie last year. So somewhere he can get that same role would be it. And I think Buffalo would be that kind of team. But you know, I'm not rooting for it or anything. I'm not rooting for Courtland Sutton in general. If I'm drafting Sutton, I'm drafting him in the hopes that he goes back to Denver. I think Roman Wilson's at a great spot in Pittsburgh. I don't know about great. I think he's like fancy Kadarius Hodges. It's an Arthur Smith offense. Like, nothing's that exciting in Pittsburgh. The hope is that he'll play better, but even when he was a good offensive coordinator in Tennessee, he fed, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Brown, but even then, didn't feed them enough for, I mean, not Hopkins. Who's the other receiver? Corey Davis, right? And A.J. Brown. So, like, you know, we're not talking about him, you know, creating outlier days for guys in a way where, like, I need to chase this to another city. I think, like, buying in on him being a better offensive coordinator than he was a play caller in Atlanta is a good bet. I think buying in on him to be a new man who's going to create value for tons of players, especially outside of the run game, especially on a tight end play, I don't think it's going to be my expectation. Roman Wilson will get you, like, those Calvin Austin plays with a little bit more frequency. So there's no need Sutton. Pickens and Sutton are as comparable. I don't know about that. Sutton's not just a go ball guy. 0-2-4-2 here. So Brock Purdy does not come back. I would have been willing to take him if he did, but he does not. I honestly was thinking about Curtis Samuel and my last pick. I don't have a ton of exposure to him. I think he's a little bit undervalued. Jameson Williams would also make sense if we're just going to go with a big Detroit bet. I think Jameson Williams can come up more than Curtis Samuel will. So I'm going to go Jameson Williams here. Jameson Williams, to me, I think the bet is really that, A, they didn't replace anybody. B, Jameson Williams had a few spike weeks down the home stretch, finally looked like he was getting his head wrapped on right, which I think is a big part for him after having missed that first year, having then missed a few games with the gambling suspension. For Jameson Williams, I think that he really does need a little more time to come along. So him at pick 103, I think if he gets to July, I think Jameson Williams is going to be back in that. Like, remember where he was going last year? He was going the 50s at one point. And now we have no additions there, and we lost Josh Reynolds. I think Jameson Williams should be going in the 60s, 70s. If Vlad McConkey's going to go 72, I think Jameson Williams should be at least here, at least JSN range. Like, do you guys really prefer JSN to Jameson Williams? I think practically I don't. Okay, I get you're in the bag for Roman Wilson. No, I don't think that's the play. Roman Wilson's fine. He's not a big target earner. And they have a guy who's like a legit beast there in Pickens. And they also have tight ends that they want to throw the ball to. Roman Wilson is going to at best give you like, I don't know. He's going to give you like Marvin Hall numbers. It's not at best though, but that's the kind of player. It's like, you're going to get one catch for 40. And if you're lucky, maybe get two more alongside that. Especially in an Arthur Smith offense. We'll see what we do coming up here though. Khalil Shakir goes, do like that pick. I am in the bag for Brian Robinson. Obviously, Jared Goff would be a reasonable pick to take at this point. Is there a threat to take Goff from me? I don't think so. I'm going to go Goff here. Let's just get him out of the way. thinking about taking another running back, but Goff with this Detroit bet makes too much sense. Give the team a read because I've not been doing a good job of that today. For the audio listeners, we got Jared Goff at QB, David Montgomery, Najee Harris at running back, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Jameson Williams at wide receiver, and a tight end, Sam LaPorta, Trey McBride. So I do feel like we ended up a little bit weaker at receiver for taking Trey McBride. I guess you could say the same thing for QB, though QB at that range, I'm not sure we would have taken over it. Think we're still in an okay range to salvage this, so I'm all right for that. I don't know what you're talking about, John. I don't, can't tell you. Can't tell you at all that that's in the game plan. Who knows? Nobody loves throwing to a tight end, too, like Arthur. Yeah, now he's got multiples of them there. He added some of his guys, and he still has Darnell Washington. Can't wait. Shark Guy Fantasy Football Garage, seeing some familiar names coming back in. Great to see that. Of course, if you are a new name or a familiar name, please make sure to subscribe down below. Please hit that like button. Does matter a lot here. Of course, I'm doing drafts every Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. And frankly, to keep ahead of the YouTube algorithm, but also just to keep growing this channel. We need your likes. Every like really helps us get seen, gets a better shot to be seen by somebody like you. And if you're watching this video and enjoying it, I'd like to have somebody like you in the mix. And it does matter a lot here as you're trying to build up a business. So please do hit that subscribe and like. And of course, if you're new to Underdog, actually had somebody leaving me a message. Fuck Raise It, by the way. but saw somebody leave me a message asking about bad as an underdog. So you are getting some new people in. So please hit that. Use that promo code SPLASH if you are new to Underdog and double your deposit up to $100. You get 100% deposit match, however they want to phrase it now. Anyway, I don't get unstacked Jaden Daniels because Raise It gets unstacked Jaden Daniels. He probably wants to take Ben Sinnott later as well, would be my guess. Or Luke McCaffrey. Who knows? Yeah, I would probably not load up on anybody in an Arthur Smith offense, but there you go. Yes, our guy Jeremy, very excited to be back, trying to get in every draft room with me. I don't look forward to it because I don't actually want people in draft rooms with me, but we'll move the times around. So if you try to get in a draft room, you don't get in a draft room, it's going to be on you. But today we're going to keep it bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and optimistic. But yes, when we have the regulars and they start taking our preciouses, that's when we go thumbs down. So whoever a team or you would take Fields the third QB, Dowdy wins the job out of camp. As a third QB, I'd have to be taking guys in the middle range more so. Maybe like a Goff. I mean, this kind of team actually would make sense for it, but like a Goff and somebody who can't run, who I don't have a lot of faith in. Goff and Geno, maybe you could take a Fields with that. You got to be pretty dead, though, I think, a QB to be taking Fields. You're just going to miss at least half the year, really, is how it goes. 1-2-5-2 here. Nothing QB-wise I'm going to go out of my way to get. I'm going to get Gus Edwards. Third running back in our – it is a zero RB build. Jared Goff, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Gus Edwards – wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Jameson Williams, and then a tight end, LaPorta, and Trey McBride. Snipe-free zone. Yeah, hopefully. Hey, whenever I'm like late starting the stream, I know I'm just going to get backlogged with a bunch of people trying to get in, which is okay. I think you're already seeing, though, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, casual drafters do like to hit the first day of BBM, not so much after that. And then they'll take a break until the summertime for the most part. I see a lot more badges, like in all the drafts I did yesterday. I did one while I was walking around yesterday, then did one at night right before going to bed. They were all full of drafts with badges. So I do not with badgers, hopefully not literal badgers drafting teams. But I think with all the badges on here, there really is a lot of guys on this that right now are more the regulars, more the diehards. Whereas I felt the first day, definitely the drafts I got on stream were like, full of people that had no fucking clue what they were doing. So that's going to be a difference point for sure in some of these draft rooms. Yes, sir. Adam, very looking to be plugged. Adam will be on the stream tomorrow. He's very excited to be doing the stream. So we'll have him on. We'll have our guest host tomorrow. And then we'll see what happens with that. Trey Franklin goes to hold my blunt. I would have liked to have gotten Franklin back at my pick so I could build out a Denver stack, but we will not be doing that now. Going to have to get clever with this. So we don't have any natural stacks left at this point. Fucking A. All right. Obviously, done at tight end. I think for now, I'm just going to keep grabbing some running backs. Missed Kyren Williams in this draft, or didn't take him, rather. I'll take a shot at Blake Corum here. I do want to make bets on Blake Corum because I do think a world where Kyren Williams doesn't hit is a world where Blake Corum likely took the goal line work away. The biggest value that Kyren Williams had last year was obviously the overall crusher volume. The fact that he had a McCaffrey-level work in the red zone was a big thing to me that made him drive his value upward. So Blake Corum, I think the bet really is that if he takes half that goal line work away, Kyren is not the same play, and Blake Corum probably has some spike weeks. If he doesn't take that work away, then, and that's a bet you're making, I think. If you're taking Kyren in the 2-3 turn, like you should be taking him in the assumption that Blake Corum is just DOA, I would say. Adam, it's work. Like, what do you fucking want, man? This is a job. Unreal. I'm excited to have you on, Adam. Jesus. It's like my wife. You don't seem enthusiastic enough to be watching How I Met Your Mother tonight. We'll do a stream tomorrow, Adam. There we go. Historical Anomalies is excited. Bring that full bulldog bias. There we go. I don't get excited for like vacations. I'm going to get excited because somebody in the chat's going to be on a stream. You notice respect, but Jesus. Zeke at 141. I love Zeke at this point. I think if you're dead in the water at running back, and frankly, should make the case I should have gone up and put Zeke over Blake Corum. Zeke at this point is like an absolute bailout if you're dead at running back. You can make the case for Rico Dowdle too. Rico and Zeke. What was Rico's numbers last year? Serves the advanced analytics. Because Zeke, we looked at yesterday, was not that great. Rico Dowdle, negative 0.06 EPA per rush, so a little bit better than Zeke performed in New England. 0.17 EPA per pass, but he's not going to get like a crazy amount of pass game work or anything. Got targeted a lot though when he ran a route. Only ran 5 routes a game, 25% target route run rate for Rico Dowdle. But I just think Zeke, you're getting your comfy blanket back. You're getting your binky. You're getting your stuffed animal back. That's what basically getting Zeke is. To me, Zeke should be going at the very least behind Gus. We saw Zeke yesterday go 100 on the draft stream that I did. I think you can make the case that Zeke should be in the 110s just based on what we're seeing. What am I being salty about? I don't know what you guys want from me. I can only be who I am. I mean, relatively low enthusiasm person. I just do the work, baby. That's what I do. But anything that requires like extra planning and coordination and effort is like inherently, like, I don't know about you guys, but if you're at your job and they're like, hey man, like, oh, you got to plan this 5-person meeting tomorrow and do a deck. I'd be like, oh, great. Like, what are you gonna be excited about it? I got salty. Dragging on for fucking ever. That's what they're doing. Taking a lot of time, which doesn't help my enthusiasm either. 1-4-5-2. God, we just fucking. Oof, I hate this. I hate the way this room worked out for me. All right, we're gonna do some bailout shit. We're gonna go up and get Drake May. Drake May, the risk really is that New England, out of all the teams in the NFL, they would be the one I think could really start Jacoby Brissett and go like, yeah, this is the move. Let's protect our guy. Drake May, modern team building. You want your QB to hit the floor day one. You want him to be on the field. You want him to be a guy that you're building around, very excited to be a part of this offense. You're doing everything to get him in position to succeed. For Drake May, if he doesn't start day one, obviously it hurts this team a lot, but it also just doesn't make good team building sense. You want to get him out there, see what you have, get him a chance to acclimate, especially with guys like Polk, guys like Javon Baker. The young guys are going to be a part of this team for him moving forward, presumably. And you make the case that maybe Pop Douglas would be one of those guys too. I don't think so quite as much, but that's really what you're hoping for Drake May. So let's hope that logical heads prevail and Drake May does start. But I do think that is a concern point for him if you're taking him in this kind of build where he's your QB2. Pass would be smart to just tank for a year. No, you don't want to give up a year of your QB's team control before you have to extend them or pay that 50-year option. You want to give yourself a shot to like see what you have him get a chance to get his footing, have a shot to be somebody useful, and then hopefully have more upside later to come. All right, we have a 2-4-5-2. We could keep going. Man, I didn't know that Polk was going this early. I missed Polk going. Kind of fucks me up a little bit here. Algier, Chuba. Chuba's falling pretty aggressively. I could take him. I do take the dip a little bit. I'm going to go Antonio Gibson, though. I think for this bat, for this room, we need another running back in. We had a minor correlation with Drake May. The flaw with that pick is that Drake May is going to be a more mobile QB. Mobile QBs, for the most part, do not target the checkdowns quite as much. But I think Gibson, really, the bet is just that he's the back that can beat a Ramondre Stevenson in this new regime, in this new world for New England. Fine to make that bet on Ramondre, too. Like, it's more likely he beats out a guy like Antonio Gibson. But for the fact that this new regime brought in Gibson, and it's also cheap, and I need a bailout fifth running back. That's why the case is there for Antonio Gibson. All right, you have Jared Goff, Drake May at QB, running back David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Gus Edwards, Blake Corum, Antonio Gibson, a wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Jameson Williams, and a tight end, Sam Laporta and Trey McBride. Greg Gamblestein saying, I follow the Pats closely. My guess is that they don't start him for a little bit, but after 0-4, 1-3 type, they break glass and let him loose. It's possible. I think the signal is out there. That wouldn't be a shocker. I just think once you get into camp, the issue for him is like he's inaccurate enough, as we talked about. 60% catchable ball rate for Drake May is worse than an AR, or at least right in that range of an AR. So like, for all the shit that people gave AR last year, Drake May has the exact same flaws. Willing deep ball thrower, less willing rusher, less adept rusher, but still, you know, he's basically white AR in a lot of ways. So, you know, I think ultimately cooler heads prevail and smarter heads prevail, and you just run him out there and give him a chance to start. But if he did sit the first four games, it's like, all right, you know, that doesn't kill you in best ball. And also, like, it's the weird fucking team control thing the Pats would do. Would not be a shocker. Would love Mahomes on the squad. Yeah, the issue is I will probably never take Mahomes up here, but that's it. And our guy, Raise It, takes Ben Sinnott at 168. So the Ben Sinnott price tag coming up here as he does cobble together his late Washington stack. Oh, how I would have rather had Jaden Daniels and Drake May. And I would have taken Jahan Dotson. I would have taken Luke McCaffrey if I had to. Raise It takes McCaffrey too. Gets the Jaden Daniels triple there. So I would say not the best version of the Washington stack when you're not getting McLaurin, but any Jaden's a good Jaden is what I'd say. Can Kelsey be that target hog number one tight end again? He's probably not going to get enough snaps to do that, especially when they add in Jared Wiley. That's another body now at tight end. They've been pretty clear they don't want to give him the full snap share. He's going to get targets when he's out there, but they're going to be lower A dot targets, working the middle of the field a little bit more. And if there's any chance that he's even vaguely banged up or hurt, he's not going to be out there. So I'm okay taking him at his price tag, but I think that's you're asking a lot for Kelsey to be back to where he was. I don't think that's possible at this point. Dylan Lobby goes to 171 ahead of Chuba Hubbard. Pretty aggressive. Do you think he can win that pass game role? But it's pretty aggressive. All right, we are going to go and get Javon Baker. I think Javon Baker is a better play than Pop Douglas. Pop Douglas, he can be okay there. But both Polk and Baker should move into the slot a little bit, which Pop Douglas can only play out of the slot and be effective. So I think that Baker, I mean, I guess isn't a shocker, but Baker and Polk being there, not good for Pop Douglas overall, but I think in particular, not good for how he's going to be used. Yes, likes up, people. Our guy Matthew knows best. Please do hit that like button. Please subscribe as well. Both matter a lot here as we try to build up this little engine that could here. Just a one-man shop doing drafts every day, Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. And, of course, giving you all the info. And the goal is really, you know, I would say so far this year, if you're curious about my credentials in terms of the on-stream content, I've done more drafts on stream than anybody in the world right now. And we'll see what happens. Our guy Neil Orfield doing 150 stream Best Ball Mania drafts. I'm not going to do 150 stream, but most of mine will be streamed here as well. And of course, more to come here throughout the entire spring and summer. And that's the goal here. Updating news every day, looking at new data, game theory, social media posts, what matters. Every day you get something that I think will add value to your process if you're drafting best ball teams. Also, one fun thing too, which I don't think has gotten public yet. So DraftKings, we talked about yesterday, $20 entry fee for DraftKings. I did hear from a little birdie who's connected to DraftKings. They're not working at DraftKings. Apparently going to be $15 million prize pool for DraftKings this year. So we'll see what their first place is and if they do a flat payout or if they go for the gusto a little bit more. Really not a fun pocket. I think with this particular build, we could do what I talked about earlier And we could take Justin Fields as our QB three. I think that in terms of Fields, like Geno Smith, better floor, not as good of a ceiling, but he'll like play. JJ McCarthy, I think plays day one. Bryce Young going to play day one. Derek Carr plays day one. Daniel Jones, injury guarantees make him maybe more of a risk to be on the PUP list than he should be. He's got to be healthy enough to play week one, but the contract stuff might make him not do that. But I think in terms of the ceiling at this point, where I'm going to go with Goff and May as my base, give me a little bit more upside, probably in the back half of the year with Justin Fields, because I just don't want to go with this Detroit stack. I'm going into a Jared Goff gunfight into the playoffs, and I don't want to go into a Jared Goff gunfight. If anything, I think a Jared Goff gunfight is what killed some people in week 17 last year after Goff helped advance week 15, week 16. And even then, he helped advance with like, what, 18 points, 20 points? Like, he did not get that high. So I think if you draft Goff, even with the Detroit stack, it makes sense because he's going to give you a floor with those guys having good days. But the ceiling, can he beat Josh Allen in week 17? Goff is beating Josh Allen 3 out of 10 times? 2 out of 10? I'd say 3 out of 10. Knowing DraftKings will be $15 million prize pool and $10 million to first. I got to tell you, like, I don't want to max another $20 entry fee tournament. If it were $10 million to first or even $5 million to first, I'd be there. You got to take the shot at winning. Winning the biggest fantasy football tournament of all time would be pretty big. The issue for DraftKings, and you guys saw it last year, we talked about it last year, when I was doing drafts on stream of on DraftKings, it's like, A, they don't reward streamers at all, so a lot of these people aren't going to raise it. Really just taking a team that I'd approve of, which I guess good for raise it, but not good for me having them in a room. But Bo Nix, 192. I think him and JJ McCarthy going next to each other shouldn't be crazy to you guys. I'd make that stand. But yeah, for DraftKings, I think really at this point, if they want to seize market share, now knowing the prize pool, especially, they go 5 mil. Like, that's, you're going to, even 4 mil, they could do that. But like, yeah, they could go over the top of Underdog now, and I think actually get some market share. So I like what Underdog did, because we talked about here, bring up the prize pool real fast. So you guys can see it if you're new to it. You know, Underdog this year, where you have 20 people potentially winning over $100,000 or $100,000 or more, and then another, you know, couple dozen winning at least 25K, some people winning, I mean, 50 people winning 11K. That's a very flat prize pool. It's going to give a lot of money to a lot of people. But that said, you know, the appeal of winning the biggest prize pool ever, winning fucking 4 Karains worth of money in terms of course, our pal Pat Karain's BBM winnings when he won 2 million, that would be tremendous. So yeah, if you're going to play on DraftKings, I think do it. But DraftKings, really, if they were smart, should be reaching out to every streamer. Like, guys like Pete probably won't do it. The guys have exclusive Underdog deals, but like everybody else, they should be trying to get streaming DraftKings drafts, because like, they're going to have a hard time filling that tournament. Or if they're going to fill it, but it's going to be filled like DFS 150 maxers, which frankly, from what I know, DFS people do not know best ball that well. So it's going to be an interesting tournament. All right, 3-5-6-2 here. Definitely could use another receiver at this point. Oof. I am not a fan of anything here. I think at this point, I'm just looking for straight best ball upside. I do think Jalin Hyatt gives me that. When you have Malik Nabers there, and especially if they are going to use Malik Nabers in a yakky kind of way, giving him shorter throws, expecting to make something happen after the catch, which is what they talked about before the draft, wanting a yak guy in the draft at that pick if they could get it. So they got him. They do that. It's going to open things up for Jalin Hyatt. Jalin Hyatt could be the poorest man's version of a Brian Thomas in this offense for the Giants. That's, again, assuming that the Giants could be good, assuming that a Daniel Jones or a Drew Lock can get the ball out and actually feed Jalin Hyatt credibly. But that's the hope here if you're taking Jalin Hyatt in round 17. Raised wishes they had regular season prizes. I don't agree with that at all. I think they should do a separate tournament for regular season prizes, much like drafters. And that's the funny thing. It's like, I think Underdog's tournaments this year are designed to compete more with drafters, whereas DraftKings tournaments are designed to compete more with Underdog. But I think that's the move to me, is like, they should just do a bigger, like a really big BBM size tournament, but only for regular season prizes too. But to me, it's like, if you're drafting teams, especially if you're drafting like tourney teams, I don't expect my teams to be in the top 10,000 during the year, because I'm not drafting running backs. I'm not drafting guys who are going to crush early on. I greatly prefer them separating the prize pools. 3-5-7-2 here. I think we do need one more running back. At this point, I don't think there's anybody sneaky, really. People like Tyrone Tracy a little bit. I'm not there. Garendo, not really it for me. I'm willing to make the Audric Estime bet as RB6. Guerrero, the risk for him is that Kyle Shanahan has previously pounded the table for fast guys and never used them. Guerrero, the fastest guy ever. I get it. Tracy, I think more fungible backfield there, but I don't think he's as talented as other people do. I think he's a fun film guy, not a good data guy. Neither here nor there. That's our last RB here. Of course, it's an 18-round draft. If you're still used to the big board, 20-round drafts. So the final team is a 3-6-7-2. We've got ourselves Jared Goff, Drake May, Justin Fields at RB, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Gus Edwards, Blake Corum, Antonio Gibson, and Audric Estime. Wide receiver, we've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Jameson Williams, Javon Baker, and Jalen Hyatt. And then at tight end, we have Sam Laporta and Trey McBride. Not a bad room here, I think, really is the main thing. Wondering if I should show you guys. You know what? We got over 100 people watching live. Let's look at some teams from mine from yesterday. Let's do that first. So here's the teams that I drafted last night here. This was a pretty quick draft room, thankfully. So this team I thought was very fun. AR, Jaden Daniels, Jonathan Taylor, Brian Robinson Jr., Zach Charbonnet, Ezekiel Elliott, Chuba Hubbard, and Dylan Labe as my running back. So hero RB here with the Indianapolis build. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Michael Pittman, who I took because I got sniped on Sam Laporta, Terry McLaurin, Deontay Johnson, Adonai Mitchell, Jahan Dotson, and Malik Washington, who I think is right now one of the more undervalued players in a draft, Trey McBride, Ben Sinnott, Johnny Smith. I liked that team a lot last night, so that was a really fun one. And then I did this one as well, which was completely me going off the deep end, but I thought it was worth it. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, a QB. At running back, we have Joe Mixon, Tony Pollard, Chase Brown, Bucky Irving, and Audric Estime. Got kind of boxed out at running back, so that running back room's not as good. That first team I love, though. This one is pretty good, but not quite as fun. Puka, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze, Hopkins, Dotson Moore. So as you can see here, everybody correlated with a QB. I love that. And then Laporta and Sinnott is my tight end, too. These are the kind of builds that I like that I build off stream, and I had pretty good access to all the guys that I want to get. So felt good about that one. All right, let's see where we are. All right, we're already in draft room here. Snuck it in. Did any of you guys pick up on it? Nope. We're doing a second draft today. We've got 100 people watching live. So two drafts, Best Ball Mania, $50 of entry fees put up on the line today. We'll do it. Again, please subscribe here. No other show will have the host sneak into a second draft for giving you no chance at all to get into it. But frankly, after Raise It and Jeremy took some of my guys, we're back to we want a clean room, and we got it here. First team is nasty. Need McBride for, yeah, look, I think McBride's easily going to be a guy this year. He was good last year. Now he's going to get a little bit less volume, going to open up a little more targets, a little more value. So I think really the main thing for him is you expect him to be more efficient with Marvin Harrison there, but he's not going to get you 10 targets a game quite as often, which is fine. They didn't add a second wide receiver. Like, to me, that's the big part is like they lost Rondale. There's nobody there that I'm afraid to take the targets away from MHJ and McBride. I think if anything, Arizona has a shot to be a concentrated Detroit style offense, and they don't have the Jameson Williams yet. They don't have the Josh Reynolds. And they have the running backs, but you know they don't have the double dip for Mr. here. Top 10 BBM finisher last year, Mr. Tweet me about his teams. Doing some RB piggery. Mr. is bright and early. Two draft Tuesday on a Wednesday. Yeah, usually I do my two drafts on a Friday, but I don't have a meeting today at 12. Next week I do have a couple 12 o'clock meetings, so I won't be able to do any double headers. So we'll get a second one in. And usually to me, like the bar, if you guys want to really get the bar right, if you have over 100 live viewers, I'll do a second draft. I think that's how it goes. You got people, when you have butts in the seats, you don't want to let them leave the seats. Come on, take Jamar Chase. Everybody loves Jamar Chase unless I'm in a room and I don't want Jamar Chase. Then they do that. All right, Bijan Robinson goes. As you guys know, Team Jefferson over Chase every fucking time. Justin Jefferson, let's go. First share of him in BBM. I believe in J.J. McCarthy. This is now my shot to really put the cape on for J.J. J.J. McCarthy, not a guy I'm going to get a jersey for. I think he's not going to be the AR of this year. But McCarthy, to me, so undervalued. Think he is still going to be a day one starter. There is the same risk that we talked about with New England, where they could go out there with Sam Darnold, give him a shot. But that's going to happen if McCarthy doesn't play well in camp. The difference between McCarthy and May is that in camp, McCarthy is going to be accurate. McCarthy is going to be athletic. McCarthy is going to show the stuff that he has to. For May, they're going to see the big-bodied guy who can make some athletic plays. They are going to see a guy who's going to miss a lot of throws, especially in the intermediate area, in a way that could be problematic. So for McCarthy, I think that he's locked in. And you have Jefferson texting him day one. I wouldn't be shocked to hear reports of these guys working out together in the offseason. We'll see if they like J.J. McCarthy enough to do that. But if you do get those reports, especially like McCarthy, to me, being a day one starter, despite him being the youngest at all these rookie QBs, I think is very much a thing that should occur, and I would expect it to occur. Does a wheel make a return this year? You need the sack wheel. Possibly. It's tough because we have to do 32 teams. So really doing one a week doesn't quite work. And I don't want to do double headers every week either. Cause like, I would like to keep some amount of drafts off stream for myself in August/September, I guess, theoretically, but mostly August. So we'll see. Yeah, it's possible. Once the initial excitement of BBM wears off, probably would be more the thing. And then we'll recalibrate and go from there. Stack. Yeah, that's the thing, though, is like in BBM drafts again, I don't know. Wasn't the most fun for me last year to make it happen. Was fun content, but I don't know if it actually did. I don't know if it moved the needle in terms of views. Which is the thing we talked about before when guys like, obviously Pete and I have done the multi-table drafts on stream, both together and separately. Then I saw like Liam doing the multi-table drafts. He was like, I'm doing 7 at once. And it's like, you get the same fucking views you would for doing one draft at once. So like, why not just do one draft at a time? It's kind of, that's how I feel about the wheel, but we'll see. 2 drafts a day on pace to max center by mid-July. Yeah, that'd work well. Thoughts on Tyler Boyd? You shouldn't draft him. He is rumored to get a decent landing spot earlier on, and now it's the Steelers are thinking about him, is the most recent report. No contract capital. Yeah, I wouldn't draft him. To me, I said this weeks ago, but he's like the equivalent last year of a Fournette. I guess Zeke would be the same play, but they got a landing spot. Kareem Hunt, same thing. But I think Boyd will get a landing spot at some point, but I think it's more like he's going there because somebody went down, somebody got hurt. And I don't want to take a guy for that bet, for a parlay style bet where you need multiple things to happen. Flock impression moves the needle, I guess. My flock impression's dry because I haven't heard him talk in a while. 0-0-1-0 here. I'm going to reach for Nico. I don't know why. I'm in the mood for Nico. Took Ayuk last draft. I feel like Ayuk could pick 19. I don't feel a lot of joy for it. I think it's an okay pick. Harrison going pick 10 here, by the way. Which I believe is the highest I've seen him go in a room, besides the time that I think I took him at pick 7 when I was drafting only rookies in the big board. So that is a Marvin Harrison. Yikes. Is Harrison going to pass Brees? Is Harrison going to pass Amon-Ra would be the question. I think in like July, maybe Harrison has to come back down. I'm surprised the casuals right now are not course correcting Harrison a little bit. Like, I believe in Harrison. I think he could be a 1,000-yard receiver year one. I expect him to be, in fact. But I think that people hate paying that price tag normally, at least in previous years. Think that Boyd's going to end up like Hunt, probably gets a spot, but not worth a nickel. I mean, Hunt actually did okay down the stretch in terms of just seizing that touchdown equity away. But for Boyd, it's like you're going to have him step in somewhere and get you 6 targets for 90 yards. Like, for a slot guy, it's like just a much narrower outcome. And obviously, you know, you hopefully don't need a Tyler Boyd when you have a draft with 30 rookies who came in and got spots you could talk yourself into. So that's how I would feel about that. Guys like Boyd are kind of they're the guys that like you get squeezed out by a rookie. Like you get squeezed out by there being players coming in with better profiles, more excitement, more enthusiasm. I was really hoping Diggs was going to be able to come back to me. I didn't expect it or anything, but I was hoping I could get Nico and Diggs. So we don't do that. Zeta Dallas would be nice, I suppose. They have Cooks. Cooks and Tolbert's enough for that role. If you're not going to make it a good player, just don't bring in another. Like, I don't think you're upgrading going to Zay Jones. And at least you have to kick the tires. Year 3 for Tolbert. You got to see what you have at Tolbert at a certain point. What is King Says going to do here? Takes Kelsey at 28. All right, we'll take the dip on Malik Nabers. Everything I said about the risk profile for him, the things that we don't like, ignore them this time. We're going to play into the positives, which is the way to draft, by the way. Like, I have, like, obviously, I have defined player takes. I have guys I think are going to be good, guys I think are going to be bad, guys who got good landing spots, guys who got bad landing spots. But for guys who are on the fence on, where you see the positive outcome, you see the negative outcome, if you're taking the guy and he's at an ADP that you find it acceptable, just play into the positive of it. So I'm taking Malik Nabers here. Giants figure it out. Giants, Daniel Jones hits the field immediately and makes it good, or whatever. Maybe Drew Lock does it, but I don't take the QB because Daniel Jones is still hovering around as a guy that's going to take playing time. But I think ultimately you're just making the bet and saying, like, hey, I like Malik Nabers in this team, but in general, I have these concerns about him. And in the drafts where you don't take him, then you vocalize those concerns more and you activate on those. But the ones where you do take him, we're playing into the yes outcome. Why don't you be my neighbors? You guys know I'm in the bag for Mr. Rogers. The only man I've ever seen undressing on TV. And I go, I want more of that in my life on a daily basis. But he does it. Neighbors over Waddle, though. I'm not a Waddle guy. I think adding Malik Washington is quietly, and also adding Taj Washington, too. He added two Washingtons. I didn't realize that until now. Very bad for Jalen Waddle. Like, Jalen Waddle was hanging on by a thread production-wise with how much Tyreek took off the table. Now you have a guy that, A, you know, Mike McDaniel wanted to trade up and get Malik Washington. You have him. You have Taj Washington, who's like a deep ball, take the top off of a defense guy, and he's not much more than that. So you have an underneath guy who commanded a 35% target share at UVA. You then have an over-the-top guy in Taj Washington, who I think can do that as well as anybody in the league probably, but in that offense, like, they're going to find ways to use him. It doesn't help Waddle out. Like, Waddle, to me, is one of my least favorite picks in round three. I think he's, like, he's highly priced Tyreek contingent value, which I don't want. Love Lamp. There you go. Love Lamp. Drew Unlock will be the starter. I don't think so. Maybe for a portion of the year because they have the injury guarantee stuff, but I don't think he comes in as a starter. He could come in as a starter actually because of the PUP list. But like, Daniel Jones should be good to go. I think he's going to be, it's going to be one of those things where the agents slash Jones are like, he's ready to go. Like, you can't put him on the PUP list. So I don't know. But if he is slow to recover, then he lands on the PUP list. Lock starts 4 weeks. I think then you get Daniel Jones in and they pull him once it seems like the season's not going anywhere because like they don't want the injury guarantees to set in. But we just saw that happen with Russ and it didn't go well. So they might get like a weird, like a little CBA in that situation, collective bargaining agreement in that situation. All right, let's see what we're going to do with our pick coming up here. 0030. All right, Laporta goes, so I don't have to make that decision. I guess that's a positive. Jefferson, Nico. Tank, a few picks after ADP. I think this is the time to do that. The Diggs guy is gonna fuck me on Stroud no matter what, I bet. You know, we could make a Houston bet without Stroud. I could live with that. We'll do Tank. Tank could pick 44. I'm okay with Zay. I'm okay with Keenan. But if I had to guess, Etter here will take old CJ Stroud at pick 50. If he's smart, he'll take him at pick 50. If he's dumb, he'll take him at pick 47. I'm not gonna reach for Stroud. Not gonna reach for Stroud with one receiver of his. If I had Diggs, I would take Stroud at 44. They're saying there's a chance. There's a chance. There's a chance we get Stroud back, but I think Etter is gonna take him. When the ADP settles, will Godwin be the wide receiver drop-off line? He is to me. I have him in the 90s. Spags rankings, by the way, if you are new around here, my ranking of every player, which also includes blurbs on the top 250 players, I guess right now the top 215, but it'll be end up being like top 250 pretty fast. That's coming out this week. So I'm just waiting for the ADPs to stabilize. There we go. Knew it's taking fucking Stroud. Not mad about it because I knew it was going to happen. But yeah, so that'll be coming out this week. So I'm just waiting for the underdog ADPs to be somewhere logical because like I don't want to have to move Ben Sinnott three times in the span of a week. So we're going to probably have it out by, I would guess, for Friday stream. That's coming soon. So hit the join button down below, $4.99 a month. You're not going to see my rankings anywhere else. That's the main thing. So if you're not a paying customer, not going to be any free previews. There's going to be further paying customers who are helping support the channel. So keep that in mind if you want that access. Fucking McLaurin goes at 51 here. God fucking damn it. Thought I'd be safe in a room. I mean, I'm getting falling Zay Flowers, which is nice. Why is Zay falling in this room? Whatever. Team so far, Jefferson, Nico, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell, Zay Flowers. Absolutely loaded wide receiver room, but really fucking thought I could get McLaurin and set up my Jaden Daniels shit, and we're not going to be able to do that. I think McLaurin is very undervalued for what it's worth. McLaurin should be going at 51, but he is priced right now in BBM in the 60s because people are not on the Jaden Daniels train like they should be. We are pissing. Why is Stroud a grumpy dick in every video I've seen? He seems fun. He just cares about ball. He's like a Kevin Durant type, where he just likes talking about ball, likes talking about plays and stuff like that. So I think that that's him, but I don't think he's unlikable. I haven't seen any videos of it. He just likes to argue, but he's like, he's fucking Gen Z who likes to argue about everything. He's a group of social media. There was a question about JSN that I'm missing here. Didn't want to answer. Somebody's asking about JSN's utility this year. I think JSN overall, not my favorite play. I think he should probably be about 20 picks later, but I think he's getting to the point of being undervalued because of the fact that like it's a brand new offense, probably going to be running more three wide receiver sets with Ryan Grubb, who did run that a good amount of Washington last year. So you're talking about him getting on the field more, another year of Lockett being old. Lockett being there is not good. And part of the issue with JSN is he's carrying the price tag from before a Lockett re-agreed to a new deal. So for JSN, I think he's undervalued in terms of how people view him. But Seattle, I have questions about. Like, I think the offense could make like a Green Bay, Houston-level jump this year. But with Geno at QB, or Howell even, like, I don't think that's possible. But on paper, like, they can do that. The risk point is that they don't seem to like Geno that much. And I kind of feel like they're a team that's live to reset their QB position next year. So that's the risk for Seattle. But if they play well and Ryan Grubb's offense is crushing from day one, they're all undervalued, including JSN. The Squirt Squad spankings. I don't. No. The Spags rankings are a separate, revered brand. Last year on Football Outsiders, and then was the only thing getting subscriptions for Football Outsiders before its untimely demise, thanks to our idiot people running it. But yes, that's it. Terry, great football player, smack the middle of wide receiver dead zone. He has the tremendous QB upgrade for a guy that's going to make him tank. He's going to make him Nico Collins good. Like, I think that's, I don't feel that way about that. I also don't think there's a wide receiver dead zone either. Trying to make fetch happen by saying there's a wide receiver dead zone. I am shocked to see Mixon going the opposite way. Mixon, a vet presence who people at one point were willing to draft in the fucking third round. Wasn't there like 2 years ago he was going like second, third round? I don't get that. We're just going to keep pissing here. I'm really annoyed about the QB situation and I want to hurt everybody else as a result. But Addison makes more sense for this build. Let's go Addison. Fuck, I want Brian Thomas, but Addison is good. Extreme wide receiver run here. Extreme zero RB. We went six wide receivers. So we are now functionally done at wide receiver with these guys. With Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell, Zay Flowers, and Jordan Addison. So we have one perhaps undervalued stack. Though you can make the case ADP-wise, Minnesota not undervalued. But to me, I think people will be reluctant to go heavy on Minnesota, especially with the full stack, because they don't believe in J.J. McCarthy like I do. So that's one part of it. Then the second part of it would be that we have the Houston stack as well, or two parts of the Houston stack. So we're losing out in the Stroud-Diggs part. Stroud and Diggs could kill us in week 17. That would be the bad part. But, you know, maybe Diggs helps advance people in week 16, and then we have the two guys for week 17. That would be the hope. The Tide Rise of Jahan Dotson, too. I think he gets better. I don't think his play style is, like, perfect for Jaden. Jaden can hit those dig route kind of plays. Some of his best throws last year were reading Malik Nabers well when he was making an inside cut. So like Dotson could be fine, but McLaurin's the one who really stands to benefit by just having somebody you can finally throw him a deep ball with accuracy, with a lot of volume as well, potentially. So Dotson rises, but he and McCaffrey, I think, a little bit overlappy, whereas like neither of them can do what McLaurin does. Dotson can get downfield. So I might be underscoring him a little bit there, but like McLaurin is just his own. A separate beast. Thick brown line. Okay. Thick brown line sounds like a dick joke. Not sure if it is or it is not. All right, we have a 0060 here, so let's start getting some other positions in, and I would say that David Montgomery fits that criteria. Usually don't love drafting players back-to-back unless they're one of my special boys, but Montgomery, come on down. You are the start of our end Zero RB. You are the start of our RB run and the end of our extreme zero RB run. So with you on Mixon, feel like 12 TDs is his absolute floor in that offense. Yeah, that's it to me. Jawar Jordan, they just added a worse version with a lower pedigree coming in behind him. So for Mixon, I think that he's in a good situation. Obviously, being in Houston overall is a good part. And Houston's offense, like, these are guys who can score in the red zone, Diggs being the best of them. But they're not, like, red zone beasts. Like, Schultz can score in the red zone. Diggs can score in the red zone. Nico, a little bit less so. Tank, a little bit less so. But, like, they're not – there isn't one guy there who's going to be Mr. Go-Get-Him jump ball guy. So it's opened up a lot for running the plays. And frankly, like, last year they wanted to run Singletary up the middle a lot in the goal line. That was not working out because Singletary's just not that kind of back. Mixon, that's all he can do. So I think Mixon – worst case for you is being Jamal Williams in Detroit a couple years ago. Best case is he gets you 1,300 in game scripts where Houston just blew him off the field. And I think Houston is live to do that. Like, this is the time in a team's ascendance where, like, yeah, they can maybe backslide. Like, maybe Stroud is not everything we thought he was. I don't agree with that. But if you want to make the no case, that's it. It's like, they're not as good as we thought they were last year. They regress. But they added more weapons in here. They added better weapons with guys like Diggs in. And also Mixon to Singletary, I would say, is an upgrade in terms of just being able to block more, being able to run, get those tough short yards. So they upgraded the team. So, like, this is the time usually in a team's development, you know, kind of like we saw last year with Miami, where Miami putting up 70, like, that was a little bit of a deliberate fuck you because their defensive coordinator got fucked over by Denver or whatever. But in general, like, that's what teams do, is like, when they're starting to hit the peak of their powers, they put up 70 on you. If Houston starts putting up, you know, CJ Stroud throwing for 350 yards, four touchdowns, that third, fourth quarter is just Mixon over and over and over and over. And I think that's a very likely outcome. So I'm a big believer in Mixon, even though the talent is ass. Like, he is a great spot guy, and the superior players in great spots, how I evaluate things. I figured as much, which, you know, I know we have some cop lovers, I'm sure, in the audience, so we won't go against that. David Montgomery and Dan Campbell's a match made in heaven. True. They're really the biggest risk for Montgomery is just that Gibbs started to get a little more trust to the goal line last year. A little more trust even more this year would not be great for Montgomery. But I still think the worst case is them getting a 50-50 red zone share, goal line share. And even then, I would say more like 50-50 red zone, still 60-40, 75-25 goal line. It's just not ever going to be Gibbs' game. Like drafting players like Quentin Johnston, everyone's down on them, but they do well, it pays off. The issue with Quentin Johnston is the ADP is still pretty aggressive for a guy that was as bad as he was last year. I'm okay making the bet, but, you know, bet got a little bit less good with Ladd McConkey coming in, just because that's another guy with draft capital that they are going to feed and is a new coaching regime decision, new front office regime decision, as well as they wanted Ladd McConkey, whereas Quentin Johnston was last pick by the previous regime. So that's the risk for Quentin Johnston. You know, I get it. I was willing to make that bet last year, but, you know, his talent level was not great last year, and it's not going to be a high-volume passing offense at all. All right, 0-1-6-0 here. Getting into a decent pocket to do something. I am going to take the Dak discount, I think, right? Or should I just go Brock? Let's go Brock. This is going to change our build. So I was thinking initially, now this is going to go away. I was thinking I could maybe do Dak and then try to push Jake Ferguson down to get a Dallas stack here, just a two-man Dallas stack that has some upside. But I'd rather have Bowers, I think, and be more live for a late three QB build, I believe. So that's what I'm going to try to do here. So team so far, started extreme zero RB at 0-1-6-1. We have David Montgomery, Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell, Zay Flowers, and Jordan Addison. And then a tight end, we have Brock Bowers going 8 picks after ADP. Like your breakdown, easy listening. So thank you. I appreciate that. Glad to hear it. Always glad to see new names here. Of course, if you are a new name, please help us out. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Doesn't matter a lot here for the YouTube channel here, because I'm a one-man shop, and your likes and subscribes will help me grow the channel, get seen more of our people. So if you do enjoy the stream, please do hit that like button and subscribe. And of course, if you're new to Underdog as well, promo code SPLASH on there. Double your deposit or get your deposit matched 100% up to $100. So check that out for yourself. Jonathan Brooks, Jalen Warren. Like these two picks at this range for this guy. Would have liked one more receiver for him, I think. But McCaffrey, Jalen Warren, Jonathan Brooks. Hard to argue that trio. You had Brooks, too. If you're going to take Brooks, I would prepare for him to maybe start on the PUP list. But everything that he has said, everything his camp has said, is that he'll be ready for July and training camp. We will see. I was holding out hope that DeAndre Swift would fall to me because I do like Chicago. We're not going to get that bet going. What are you going to do? A little bit of a tier break, I feel like, at running back, potentially. Oh, King says, soak it up the clock, take Tony Pollard. We will take the discount. I'm taking Tony Pollard. I don't get why people aren't taking Tony Pollard at 90. Like, nothing has changed for Tennessee. It's the same situation it's been since the last 4 weeks of the big board, 6 weeks of the big board. So Pollard to me at 100, a good pick. Eckler, a bad pick at 100, I think. Would rather have Brian Robinson there. Would rather have Tony Pollard there. But, you know, whatever. Personal preference still reigns supreme. If I had to guess the final ADPs for Brooks and Benson, I think Brooks keeps coming up. Especially if Brooks is good in July, Brooks probably gets to 70 range, I would guess. I think he's a better pick than Ramondre right now. Yeah, I think Brooks probably 70s. And then for Benson, I don't really have a read on that. I've seen Benson be taken ahead of James Conner. I think that's an incredibly bad move. In this room, it looks like we're getting Benson falling. Yeah, we're getting Benson five picks after ADP. I think it should be like this. I mean, Connor go to 74. That shouldn't be the price tag. Connor has to drop a little. Connor should be in this range, I think, at least. The issue for me is, like, Ramondre should be lower. Ramondre should be in the 90s, and he's not. So that's the part that I have a tough part with my brain with. But Connor's a better play than Ramondre, but a less good play than Montgomery and Jones, I think. And Benson is a worse play than Connor, is how I feel about that. Benson's best shot is getting the pass game work day one, which he can do. But that team trusted the shit out of James Conner last year. So Benson's got to earn that trust. And he's got to earn it in pass blocking, too, which could be an issue. Could Spears overtake that backfield? Probably not. I think the most likely outcome is it's like a pure 50-50, but too much contract money for Pollard, at least in year one. But it's possible that Tyjae takes goal line work. Tyjae is a better goal line back than Tony Pollard. The issue is the contract money. Like, I think there's going to be a little bit of a will thing for Tennessee to get Tony Pollard going and show that, like, they can do better with him than Dallas did. But we will see. If Tennessee took offensive tackles, the fantasy bros were like, that's bad for running backs. Yeah, the offensive tackle benefits pass game and running backs pretty equally. Why is Danny Dimes ADP so low? Am I missing something about the injury timeline? So for two reasons. Number one is he's coming down because he's a rushing QB coming off a catastrophic ACL injury. Number two would be that he does have injury guarantees that could preclude the Giants from wanting to play him if he's got any sort of cover for them not to play him. So that's the reason why. I think fundamentally, if you're making a bet on Malik Nabers, you're probably making a bet on Daniel Jones, but you can be making a bet just on Jones and Locke, both trade back and forth throughout the year, and neither you need, but Nabers still gets enough production. But I think Jones is a little bit too cheap. He should be going ahead of at least of Justin Fields, I would say. But he's not like crazy cheap because of the injury guarantee stuff. Do I hate you or Adonai Mitchell more? I don't hate either of you. I wish that like Troy Franklin were that pick, but Franklin got a good outcome, so I'm not even that mad about it anymore. I don't think he's as talented as some other guys. Really fucking wanted Brian Robinson there. That would have been a nice one for me to have. But I cannot have nice things in this room, it seems. So we're not going to get that. We will get Chase Brown, though. Another back. Because we are basically not a Tyjae Spears household for having Tony Pollard. I guess if you're going to make a bet on Tennessee, you could make a bet on Pollard and Tyjae if they're going to have... If I believe they're going to have a 50-50 split, which I do. But, ugh. Like Titan Sears is a sleeper, draft as many as possible. I agree. I don't know if they're a sleeper, but you bring in a real offensive coordinator to be your head coach, and then you get rid of all the shit that was like playing a regressive kind of really approach on both defense and offense. I think it's a good thing. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. But I don't think they're going to be like world beaters or anything. I think the teams that I would say like relative to ADPs could make a leap, and I've tweeted this actually to Mr. Mister, but I think it's like Washington, Carolina, Denver, New England, I think are the four that they're priced really cheaply. They have some sort of merit that they can be an ascendant Green Bay slash Houston kind of offense. Obviously, those are really high laurels to pat on because, like, we don't know. Like, I'm saying four teams, but I think if you're going to talk about teams that can be that, they could be a game changer to your entire team, especially if you game stack and you get that right now. I think that those are the ones that I would say. But Tennessee, to me, is just like a nice price tag for a real adult offense that, you know, you need Levis to be good, but Levis is going to get the best shot he's ever had to be good because Brian Callahan, for what he did with Jake Browning last year, he turned a no pedigree guy into somebody who's passable. So that's it. Fuck. Jaden Daniels goes to this guy in the one hole. In a perfect world, Brian Robinson would have fallen one more pick and Jaden Daniels would have fallen here, and I would have felt tremendous about this team, but instead we will cobble it together once again. A day of cobbling it together here on stream. Fucky, fucky, fucky. It's a real fucky, fucky, sucky, sucky situation. In as much as fuck these guys and also the situation sucks. Not as much as I'm owing, I'm offering blowies. Not that kind of fucky, fucky, sucky, sucky. All right, 0361 here. I think this is the kind of spot, and again, I really don't think it would be an egregious thing to take Tyjae. I think this is the kind of spot where you go up and get Zeke. If I didn't have Pollard, I would take Tyjae, but I think Zeke's a better play than Corum. I think right now Zeke is a better play than Charbonnet. Charbonnet, ambiguous backfield, new coaching staff that could be there. But to me, Zeke should be going 130s range with some flexibility to go in the 110s. He's a starter. I don't know how he's not the starter. I think it's insane that this is where we are in the world, but I think he's a starter. And somebody's got to score touchdowns for Dallas. So we reunite Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Let's give the team a read here. No QB yet because everybody keeps going that we would be logically taking and the other guys are too late. So we have David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, Chase Brown, Ezekiel Elliott. Wide receiver, we have Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell, Zay Flowers, and Jordan Addison. So we hit wide receiver first six rounds. We have not gone back since. And we got Brock Bowers after that. So that's the team. We are live for stacks, but fuck. Jaden and Robinson would have made this team look really good to me. Because then I think we still could have gotten Zeke at this pick. But it's okay. Persevere. Carolina's a few ways to be stacked too. I agree. Carolina, I mean, the issue now with Carolina is that you got to get Deontay and you have to get Leggett. It's kind of an advance to back it out with Bryce Young, which is not my favorite, but Bryce being free, you know, Bryce getting the glow up of all glow ups in terms of the coach he got hired. There was really, like, I think people don't get how dead in the water Baker Mayfield was going into Tampa Bay last year, where he had the one good game for the Rams that threw people off the scent, but he still analytically was awful. He was like done. Dave Canales, like, basically put him on his back, blew air in his mouth to keep him alive is what he did for Baker Mayfield. Now he's getting Bryce Young, and they're adding weapons. They're going to scheme it up well. They're already talking about, hey, we're going to use the guy in the flat. We're going to have him running some post routes. There's going to be a lot of stuff here that Xavier Leggett can do day one. Those are good things for Bryce Young, just simplifying things for him, making it so he can play in a structured offense that will still use guys well. Probably a lot of pick plays in that offense would be my guess, given Yak opportunities. That's where Bryce Young needs to be. So I agree with Bryce. I think the tough part with Carolina is just like, you're not getting a cheap like New England. You're not getting a cheap like Denver, but it's fine. Thank you, Charles. We believe in you, Spags. Your knowledge will make this team a league winner. I hope so. I think I built the BBM winner yesterday. Like that one that I showed you guys in between the drafts. That's the one. The AR team. A beauty. A couple picks that I would not mind here, but we'll see which of them we get from T. Hurley. Jared Goff, by the way, this is what you can do with Jared Goff in the right room. 20 picks after ADP for Jared Goff. 0461 here. This is tough for me. Oh, I think Charbonnet is the better pick here. Charbonnet is the better pick here. No, you know what? We're going Troy Franklin. We're giving me another potential bailout at QB. Shouldn't take a seventh wide receiver in an extreme zero RB build, but Troy Franklin's here, guys. I have not left the Troy Franklin universe. I don't care how much he falls. I do think Franklin's going to start to fall a little bit in rooms. You're seeing him go 133 ADP-wise. He went 140 in this room. But Troy Franklin, to me, I think once we get to July and August, he's running with the first team. People are going to feel awfully silly, and I am going to be ready to fucking yell at every one of them. The pre-prepared victory laps for me this year, guys, are Jaden Daniels, Washington stack, going off like Houston. That's number one. Number two, Denver being good, Troy Franklin being the biggest beneficiary of that. That's number three, or it's number two for me. Those are the big two. All right. So we lost one of our potential little stacks there with Leggett, which is fine. I'm not worried about it. Jerome Ford, I think he and Charbonnet. I mean, the thing with Ford is he's not going to win that backfield. The hope is that he's going to be your lead back, though, for weeks one through eight, maybe six, with Nick Chubb out. So Jerome Ford's the pick. Team so far, no QBs yet, which is getting a little scary, but 0-5-7-1. We have five running backs, including David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, Chase Brown, Ezekiel Elliott, Jerome Ford. We have Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, and a late Troy Franklin added in here. And we have Brock Bowers, tight end. So we probably are good at every position besides QB and tight end. But we'll see what we get coming back. Nick's Franklin better than Burrow Chase at ADP? ADP, I think so. But no, Chase, obviously, Burrow going to outscore. But Nick's Franklin, to me, like, this is the one that next year, Bo Nix ends up going. It's not going to be a big-time runner. Bo Nix ends up going somewhere in here. Franklin ends up going somewhere here. Maybe here. It's my bet. What's yours? Hopefully the same one, so you can be correct. Baker Odden, no shit stack. That's not where I'm thinking, but wouldn't be crazy. Hey, shout out to guy Ben here. Oh, Ben, it's live. When you join the channel and it's live, you get a welcome to the family, Ben Bauer, double B, Ben Bauer, BB, boop, boop, boop. We love shooting in the mouth. And there's one thing I love, Ben, is getting a little BB in my life. So welcome to the family. BB Ben Bauer, the best Bauer I know. Better Bauer than Trevor Bauer, that much is for sure. That guy seems like a real piece of shit, even though he didn't. Probably not as guilty of things as he thought he was. Is that a hot take? I don't even know. I'm in character. Hey, welcome to the family, Ben. Of course, you two can be welcome to the family in such enthusiastic ways by hitting the join button down below, $4.99 a month. If Adam wants some excitement, he could actually join the fucking YouTube channel and I'll, for $4.99 a month, and I'll show him excitement. Do the Broncos start Zach Wilson? No. Knicks is day one. Knicks is ready to go, good to go. He would have to be egregiously bad in training camp, and he's not going to be because he's incredibly accurate, and he's basically already a team leader based on the stuff they're saying. He's already organizing workouts and shit and trying to get Troy Franklin to come out to Denver to start doing work. So, no. That'd be a bad one. All right, 0-5-7-1 here. We have five picks left. Would like to get three QBs. Think we could use a sixth running back. And I think Ty Chandler is that running back. RB6, Ty Chandler, come on down. Falling in this draft for all the nothing that happened in Minnesota, I guess. But team so far, a 0-6-7-1. We have our six running backs of David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, Chase Brown, Ezekiel Elliott, Jerome Ford, Ty Chandler. I would say we're done at running back. Wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, and Troy Franklin. Tight end, we have Brock Bowers. That's true. That's why Robert Downey Jr. continues to be a part of our lives. What I know. Why is Trey Palmer going so low? Good rookie year. They added Jalen McMillan. Addie McMillan is not good for Trey Palmer, even though he was a good player. Trey Lance is probably more of a 2025 play if they get rid of Dak, stupidly. If Dak goes to the Cowboys, then you're live for Trey Lance once again, probably. Franklin Stan, myself, 18% of the big board. If he finishes at 60 ADP, I'll shit a brick. He's not going to finish at 60 ADP this year. To be clear, I was saying next year, I think he can go there. This year, he's going to be, at best, it would be that he goes in like the 90s because he had a killer training camp. But that'd be about it. Everybody now flocking for the Jaden fucking Ben Sinnott stack. Great. Love to see that. Love to see my preferred bailout be gone after 2 days of best ball mania. But we persevere. All right, 0671. This Baker Cade stack is just sitting here still. I'm not going to take it, but it is just sitting here. We're going to go get JJ McCarthy first. Our first QB off, QB1 JJ McCarthy, which I know is going to make some people go, whose draft sucks. But we're, so here's the thing, is like, if you're making this bet on Minnesota, you're making a bet on Ty Chandler, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, making a pretty concerted bet on Minnesota. The bet is that somebody's going to come into Minnesota and be a world beater day one. Could it be Sam Darnold? I suppose it could, but draft capital, I think in general, the fact, the kind of QB McCarthy was in college too, in a pro style offense. There's just like a very small leap for him to make. He played the best competition in college, played a pro-style offense, was incredibly accurate, didn't drop back enough, but he's going to be forced to drop back more here. So maybe if you want to give me the no case is that he gets so many more dropbacks and falls apart, getting the extra 20 dropbacks a game. But I don't care about that. I don't think that's it. JD McCarthy, Bo Nix, just running an offense, being a vessel for good offense. They're not playground ball guys. They're not going to add value from the moment they step on the field like Jaden Daniels does, where Jaden Daniels is going to run for 50-yard touchdowns, where Caleb Williams is going to throw for 400 yards in a game this year. That's not going to happen for these guys, but they are going to throw for 250, three touchdowns here and there. That's enough to get you through, especially at pick 173 when you have the bet already on these guys. It's a different approach for me than other people, I think, with this stuff that I'm – if you're making bet on star players with QBs that you think are better than the public, that's your stack. Like, I don't need Josh Allen if I have three QBs and I believe their pass catchers are going to get there enough. And especially, you know, for the two rookies I'm going to take probably. Going to have 40% of Chandler at these prices. That's a lot of Chandler, but Chandler's got a role. Like, Aaron Jones, no matter what, he needs a second back there to take some workload off him. I think Aaron Jones is in a great spot because I believe Minnesota is going to be better than people realize this year. But for them, really, the biggest issue is just that, like, Aaron Jones can't handle 30 touches a game. So you're probably going to be giving 5 to 10 to Chandler, at least 5 to 8. I mean, what did A.J. Dillon get last year? His number's going to be skewed because Jones is out so much time. Dillon had 14 touches a game last year, including the ones that he got a little bit more with Jones out. So you're probably talking, you know, 7 to 10 for Chandler, assuming the usage pattern holds, which I think it would. How do you see LAC's backfield shaking out? I'm not the most confident in this one. I think Gus Edwards gets the goal line work no matter what. J.K. Dobbins says 100% back. If he were really 100% back, he would be the best back there by a wide margin. I think that at best makes him between 20s back. Kamani Vidal is worth drafting, but I think right now he's pure handcuff value. And then you hope in that July and August is that he's actually working with the first team and in the mix meaningfully. But I think that's still a little bit of a risk point. I would say Gus goal line, J.K. Dobbins between the 20s and the pass game, and Vidal live to take more, but he's not good enough analytically for me to say like, oh, you need to go out of your way to get him. I can't believe the Baker Otten stack is still here. I would have honestly taken that. Oh, well. Oh, T. Hurley just fucking soaks up. I'm like ready to make my pick. And then T. Hurley goes, I need to really sweat out these 30 seconds to pick Johnny Smith. We got J.J. McCarthy. All right. Really don't think we're at a risk to lose anybody that I would like at this point. We're going to go. We're going to take Bo next. Bo knows ball. Bo knows how to get drafted to pick 188. J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, my two rookie boys that I like. Not nearly as much as Jaden Daniels, to be clear, but more than the market. making a big bet on Dobbins. Most probably aren't, which is why I am. Mr. Mister preparing to give away all the money that he won finishing top 10 last year. Dobbins is okay. Just he's got to overcome a lot of historical injury things to get there. The more that I read up on that was the more that I got spooked with Dobbins, who I really was taking or trying to take hot and heavy early on the big board. He got a good landing spot. Team committed to the run. I just worry about it. I wouldn't double the field for Dobbins. Feels like about the most I would do. Where did Dobbins go in this room? Dobbins went at 150. Yeah, 150. I don't know. I'd rather have Ray Davis, I think, in this time of a draft. We'll see if Ray Davis is a pure handcuff for James Cook. Similar play style guy. But I'd rather have Ray Davis, I think, than Dobbins. I think I'd... Actually, no. It's close. I think that's more of a tier for me. But yeah, Dobbins at 150, sure. Go nuts. Baker falls anymore. Grab him to help you start the season. I don't need anybody to help me start. These guys are starting day one. At least Nick's is starting day one. I think both are. This is the thing that happened last year, too, with AR. And like I backed down a little bit, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, AR, if he sits the first 8 games. These guys aren't fucking sitting anymore. Rookies coming in, top 15 draft capital aren't sitting. So I that's generally the way I would like to view it for most of this stuff. All right, Baker went to that part. The dream of the free Baker Otten stack has gone away. Need to add a second tight end, but well, you guys are not going to like my second tight end. I do believe Gardner Minshew wins this job and holds on to it. I think he's a better QB than Aiden O'Connell. They did not add anybody who's really a threat, and we are going Minshew because of the bet on Brock Bowers. So I guess the micro bet in this one is that Minshew keeps himself afloat, feeding Brock Bowers, and holds on to the starting job because of that. And frankly, too, if the Raiders are competitive enough, they're not going to pull Minshew for Aiden O'Connell. Like if they're like the Colts were last year, Minshew probably plays the entire year. So I think Minshew, to me, you're absorbing some risk, but a little bit undervalued for a guy with real weapons around him and a team that we know was coached pretty well. We'll see what Luke Getsy brings to the table there, but if nothing else, he's going to bring an offense that's going to keep some safe checkdowns for Gardner Minshew. Falcons have disagreed with my rookie QB take. Yes, I guess besides Penix. Penix is the only one who's not starting day one. I should clarify that to be sure. Do not think that Michael Penix upsets $100 million guaranteed of Kirk Cousins. Besides that, though, normally, if you're doing something smart, you should be playing your QB day one. Seeing how Joe Brady operated the offense of 32-year-old running back, if Davis even has a modicum of juice. So the issue is like that. He's very similar to me and James. Like he and James Cook are like one-to-one players. Ray Davis probably a little bit of better of a goal line back at Kentucky, but I was at Kentucky. So like the size-wise, like he and James Cook, very close size-wise. Ray Davis, a little bit more of a bowling ball. Fucking Dulcich goes. Oh man. I really thought I was gonna get Dulcich for free in the 20th round with Bo Nix. That was the pick there. So that's not great for my tight end too. All right, well, that was the one curveball we got in this draft. But yeah, for that overall, like Davis to me, I agree that he can be the goal line back, but I think the bet you're making right now is like he might be the pure handcuff to James Cook. If he's a pure handcuff, I said this a couple days ago, I think in drafts you should be taking either James Cook or Ray Davis, because if you're taking Ray Davis, the bet is that Ray Davis is going to chip away at the workload enough to make James Cook not worth the 40s level pick he's at. If Ray Davis is just a pure handcuff, that means that James Cook is like Christian McCaffrey in a Josh Allen offense, so he's not going to get that full level of work with a QB that can run it in from the 1 yard line or the 5 yard line or wherever in the red zone. So that's the risk point really. But yeah, I would say to me, like one of those guys wins big, no matter what. So it's kind of like an arbitrage play in sports betting. It's like, to me, if you have James Cook and you have Ray Davis, like one of those guys is going to be a functional part of the Bills offense at ADP, and which one it is, you know, you can guess. No one taking touches from my guy, James Cook, I'm sure. After last year, they tried literally anybody who could play running back to take touches away from James Cook. And now they drafted a guy who, if for whatever his flaws are, 24-year-old back coming off knee injuries and stuff, Ray Davis is going to step in and be a credible back from day one. I can't let the guy took. I don't get these QB rooms, to be honest. Or like what people are doing right now. I misspoke there, but I'm not going to clarify myself yet. Why would you possibly take? Okay, so Kate Otten here at this point, I think it's just a good pick in the 18th round. people took Dulcich, Davis Allen, Jelani Woods over Otten and Fant. Mayer, okay, you want to push him down. That's just not good. It's not good drafting of tight end. Cade Otten, I was ready to take Noah Fant, but we'll take Cade Otten 50 picks after ADP, who got nobody to threaten his role. Final team here, 3672. J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew. So I would say a QB room a lot of you guys will find weak. I agree that it's weak, but I think two guys here are going to be starters day one for sure, and then I think all three keep the jobs all year. RB, David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, Chase Brown, Ezekiel Elliott, Jerome Ford, Ty Chandler, running back, that bet on Minnesota. Of course, the bet on Minnesota continues with Justin Jefferson. We also have a bet on Houston with Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Malik Nabers. We got in the mix too, a little bit after ADP. Zay Flowers, very after ADP. Jordan Addison from the Minnesota sack. Troy Franklin with his best buddy, Bo Nix. Fucking, that had to end right then. And then two tight ends, Brock Bowers and Cade Otten. I think that was a pretty sick team. I don't know. Like, it was certainly tough for a QB. We're not getting elite QBs. I know you guys love to see that as well. But I like that team a lot, guys. And no matter what here, whether you like the teams or not, drafts every day here going on. Of course, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. So please do subscribe down below. Please hit that like button. As you can see here, I just go with the vibes. If we see a lot of people watch, don't do a second draft as long as I have the time to do it. So it's what we do here on Splash Play. Appreciate all you guys watching, but I'll appreciate you more if you hit that like button and subscribe. Of course, Underdog promo code Splash on there. Get your deposit match up to $100 or 100% deposit match. Either way, go use promo code Splash on there. Helps the show out. Helps the show Underdog that you guys are actually listening and watching the show, but also helps you out there by getting some free money in to start and a mystery pick'em as well. Probably you want to build some bankroll for best ball. Do it with Probably Bets, using market data to find you the best bets every day. If you're in a legal betting state, I would certainly recommend giving it a shot right now. Just pick off bets on fucking ESPN Bet and Caesars, especially two of the softest books out there. If you're in Hard Rock, you can filter down by sportsbook and get only Hard Rock bets for you people in Florida. Lots of ways to make money and Probably. Do it for yourself now. Start today, and maybe you'll get some home run bets like we've been hitting at a completely unsustainable rate lately. Stochastic Sims going off there. I think they have some best ball stuff coming out in May too, but nothing paid. We'll talk about that when we get there. Stochastic, promo code Splash will get you 15% off any package as well. Shout out to the Squirt Squad, all these fine folks who hit the join button. You too can support the show by giving a sweet little $5 hitting the join button down below. You will also get Spags rankings. You also get VIP discords, including a spot in the Deposit Gaming Discord, Peach channel, of course, here. So lots coming on here this next week. So good time to hit that join button. We'll support the show and get some more of my stuff in your life. And I think that's about it, guys. So please do gamble responsibly. Please do bonk your dog when they're being too horny. Please do scarf grass and call yourself a pig if you're drafting too many running backs. Please do all of it. And also follow me at Chris Spags. Follow the show at Splash Play Pod. And come back tomorrow. Another draft tomorrow at 11 a.m. with our guy Adam. And I'm going to be so excited to hear Adam prattle on about Georgia bullshit and Ladd McConkey. So I'll see you guys then. And of course, if you want a guest hosting spot, 5 stars interview for Probably in the pinned comments down below. See you guys tomorrow. Enjoy your days. Good luck. Bye.